Are you tired of being told what to think and how to act? Well, you are not alone. In case you haven't realized it, you have an internal GPS. It knows all you need to know about how to live your life. So it's about time you stopped letting the media and the government tell you what is true for you. In fact, it is exactly that time. It's time to think for yourself. And here to make sure you're doing just that is your host, mediator, author, and lawyer, Carol Gold.
Hi, it's Wednesday, October 6th. I'm Carol Gold, and welcome to Think for Yourself. I was thinking the other day about the children's game Whispering Down the Lane, where one person whispers a phrase or a sentence into the ear of someone else, and then they pass it on to the person sitting next to them by whispering it in their ear, and so on and so forth, until you get to the end of maybe 6 or 7 or 10, however many people you have playing the game, and the last person says out loud what they heard in their ear. And it's funny because it's rarely anything remotely resembling the thing or the sentence or the phrase that was first said by the first person in the second person's ear. And why is that? Well, it's because the further you get from the source of something, the more distorted the perception of that generally is. And the further away you get, the less effective you are at knowing the original statement, but in the case of governance, in dealing with the problem. And there's such a great example of that has been unfolding, I guess, since October 4th, when Merrick Garland, the Attorney General, issued a memo indicating that parents at school board meetings, local school board meetings, who are either intimidating or harassing or violent, will have to answer to, wait for it, the FBI, because the FBI is going to have a hotline number where anyone who feels threatened, such as a board member at a school board meeting, again local, can call the hotline number, which is the same hotline number for domestic terrorism, and the FBI will be investigating that individual or those individuals who were harassing or intimidating or violent in nature at a school board meeting. I almost don't know where to begin with this, because it's beyond absurd, it's unconstitutional. But it speaks to that whispering down the lane principle, which is school boards are local. Children's education is local. There's no Department of Education in the Constitution, nor is there any legitimacy for a federal Department of Education. In fact, I believe it was the Department of Education originated in the mid-20th century. It's a very new concept, mid to late, I think, 20th century. The distortion comes in that, let's say we've had, 70 years of a Department of Education calling shots federally about what education should look like in this country. Well, now take that a step further. It's like one more whisper down the lane. Now you're talking about calling in federal law enforcement to address parents who pay taxes, which pay for the school, which pay for the school board's salary, which pay for the books, which pay for the teachers. You're talking about not allowing those parents to speak or have a say about their children's education. Because right now there is an uproar of sorts among many school boards in the country about critical race theory being taught. And there are an awful lot of people who don't know what critical race theory is or why anyone would be for or against it. And I suggest that you educate yourself to the extent that you don't know what critical race theory is. But it's a very divisive concept, and it allegedly is to fight racism. It's allegedly anti-racism, racist in subject matter and in content. But in reality, it's incredibly racist because it further separates us, and it attempts to make white people guilty for everything that's ever happened in this country to anyone who wasn't white. And it's just an extreme, absurd approach, but it's an approach that is insidious. And it's in hundreds, I believe, of school board of school curriculum across the country, if not more than hundreds at this point. And so parents are seeing the kind of lesson plans their kids are coming home with, and parents are educating themselves about critical race theory. And by the way, not necessarily white parents. There are black parents who show up. There are Asian parents who show up and don't want critical race theory taught to their children. However, as I said, Merrick Garland, our attorney general, issued this memorandum. Now there's an attempt actually to intimidate parents or to harass parents who simply want to do what is their right to do, which is have a say in the curriculum that their children are being taught. Now there's another part to this story that's really important, and that is that critical race theory has certain companies around the country that publish the books, that see to the content, and that are implementing these programs and critical race theory texts into school districts across the country. One of those companies is called Pandora. Well, Pandora was co-founded by Merrick Garland's son-in-law. His daughter is married to the co-founder of Pandora, a company that is publishing and promoting critical race theory. It sure seems to me that there is a almost criminal conflict of interest, and maybe it isn't, maybe it's actually an actual crime at the federal level, for Merrick Garland to be issuing, in his capacity as Attorney General, a memorandum that is clearly designed to suppress opposition to the same company, to the same company's product and intention, that his daughter's husband is making millions of dollars off of the contracts that are coming for those products and services. So, you know, this, it's funny. I was talking to a friend today who's Jewish, and somehow we got, and I'm Jewish, and somehow we got to a place in the conversation where I said, you know, when my daughter was young, she approached a rabbi and she said to him, "Rabbi, as Jews, we're not supposed to mix meat and dairy in the same meal. That's one of the overriding principles of being kosher. People who are observant and are kosher in Judaism don't eat meat and dairy in the same meal." She said, "Well, I don't understand something. Why can't we eat chicken and dairy? Because that's also prohibited in Orthodox Judaism, in observant kosher dietary law." And the rabbi said, "Well, why are you asking that?" And she said, "Because the prohibition against eating dairy and meat goes back to the quote in the Torah, which is you can't boil a kid in its mother's milk." And from that, the rabbis and the sages derived the principle that you can't mix meat and dairy, right? A kid, a calf, in the milk of its mother, meat and dairy. I don't want to get into where the, how that all evolved, but nonetheless, that's the prohibition. And she said, "I don't understand, because chickens don't have milk." Chickens don't have milk. It's a really good question. I actually never thought to ask it. My daughter did when she was, I don't know, maybe 13 years old. And the rabbi said this. He said, "It's because the sages and the rabbis of old, they built fences around the law." Fences. Meaning, yes, it's true, chicken does not fall under that prohibition, but their fear was that if someone ate chicken and dairy, they were so, the chicken is so close to feeling like you're eating meat, that maybe then they would eat meat with dairy. And so they built what they call a fence, meaning to back you up further away from getting even close to the technical prohibition. And there are many such fences in Judaism, in terms of dietary laws. The reason that I went through all of that and the reason I'm sharing it is because of two things. Number one, perhaps the Constitution needs fences, because what Merrick Garland is doing is a violation. It's a violation of free speech. It's a violation of states' rights. It's a violation of the specific rights that are given to the federal government in the Constitution itself. But it's also what happens to some extent when there are no fences, when there are no boundaries. And in many ways, that's what executive orders have created. They began with all presidents probably in modern times have used them. I think everyone from Bill Clinton on has used more and more and more of them. Barack Obama was really huge on using them. Trump also used them. And here we are. We're in places where the President of the United States, because he knew that he couldn't mandate mask wearing under the Constitution to force people to wear masks at work. He used OSHA by executive order. He used Occupational Safety and Hazards Administration by an executive order, having them to regulate in businesses where there's more than 100 employees, they must be masked and they must be vaccinated. Or I think the alternative is tested daily or tested. Yeah, I think it's tested daily if you're not vaccinated. So there's no boundary there, right? There's no fence. What has happened is power has concentrated so in the federal government that it is so far from, let's say, that first whisper in the ear being the Constitution itself and legal precedent that follows from it, that everything goes, anything goes. And so you've got the federal government now about to police local school boards. It's very bad when power gets concentrated. And it's very bad when power gets concentrated and that concentration and that power begins to grow unobstructed and unopposed, which is why there are provisions in the Constitution. And if you read the Founding Fathers, you will see that they anticipated such problems and they built into the Constitution itself mechanisms for dealing with a government that has gotten out of control. And we're there. We're totally there. Because all the boundaries are gone, there aren't any fences, and concentrated power believes it can do what it wants to do. You know, I'll make my last point before I end the podcast. Yesterday, Joe Biden, our president, said that the $3.5 trillion Build Back Better bill that they're trying to pass, they're having trouble with because they can't get two Democrats to go along with it, and they need all of them in order to pass it. The president said that this isn't about left or right, Republican or Democrat, that passing this is about you either stand for American prosperity going forward, you either stand for progressivism, or you're complicit in bringing the United States down. Now, that's a ridiculous statement. But it's also a frightening statement because, number one, complicit has a legal aspect to it. It has to do with criminal activity. So in a sense, he's criminalizing everyone who doesn't agree with his left-wing Build Back Better policy or agenda, I should say. But also, it's dangerous because you have a president of the United States intimidating people. The same way that Merrick Garland, his attorney general, is attempting to intimidate parents. This is very bad. This is very unhealthy. It's very dangerous for the nation. And as I said, the Constitution provides. It provides for states to have their own convention. The Convention of States actually exists as a movement. I don't know at this point in time how many states have signed on. Last thing I knew, there were like 28 or 29, I think. And then there's the duty of the populace to rise up against such an abusive government that is disrespectful of the limitations of power that is placed upon it by the Constitution. I'm not talking about violent revolution, but there's something like a national divorce happening, and there are states that are seriously considering secession. Or perhaps the country ought to be divided, because that's how divided the agendas are for what is in the best interest of the United States. And I would argue that until somebody comes along with a better document, the Constitution, as written by the Founding Fathers, is the most comprehensive and freedom-loving and freedom-initiating document that has ever been drafted to be the framework for how a society and a government should function. As I said, until something else better comes along, tearing it to shreds with nothing to put in its place except centralized power, which at the moment is in our federal government, but the next step is global centralized power, which will be even further down that whispering lane and less effective and more perverted. So think about what method or avenue you want to take personally to stand up for the things that you believe in. And think about it, because it's very important now that you know where you stand on all of this. Because if all of it goes unopposed and unchallenged, personal liberty will be a thing of the past. Thanks for listening. I'm Carol Gold, and I'll be back here again on Friday.
Carol thanks you for spending your valuable time with her. It is her mission to empower you to remember how smart and capable you are. Be sure to check out Carol's website, carolgold.com. That's Carol with an E, gold.com. Please leave a review and subscribe here so you'll be alerted to Carol's next podcast. Until then, above all else, remember, it's time to think for yourself.